Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Alex Curry is joining me, Joy Taylor off today. By the way, I thought it was interesting, Elon Musk hosted Saturday Night Live, and some of the writers protested, they don't like him, blah, 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 and he's different. I mean, he's not for everybody, but it's interesting. If I was a comedy writer, and this is where politics has gone in this country, if I was a comedy writer, it's easier to do jokes for people with big personalities. Donald Trump's easy to write jokes about. Elon Musk is easy to write jokes about. Bill Gates, where, you know, he's the richest guy in the world, getting divorced now. You can write a lot of jokes. I don't understand when comedy writers go, I don't want to do this show because I don't like where Elon Musk stands. Do you want good topics to write jokes? Isn't that the whole part of, like, if I was a comedy writer, you're looking for somebody to mock or make fun of or poke. It's hard when if you look at, nobody ever does an impersonation of Gerald Ford, the former president. He was boring. You can do a Reagan. You can do a George Bush. You know, people have done great impersonations of Obama. The bigger the personality, Trump. It's hard to do a lot of jokes on George Bush Sr. or impersonations of Gerald Ford. Elon Musk is the classic odd.
He's not a great speaker. If you've watched any of his like live speeches he's done or presentations before this, I kind of knew going in, I was a little nervous. I was like, because I know how awkward he can be. Yeah. But he was trending the whole week.
Yes.
They were the top news story. They were trending on Twitter. Every news outlet was talking about it.
I want dysfunctional people if I'm a comedy writer. The more dysfunctional and different.
It was awkward. It was so awkward.
Awkward
but
people.
But it was hilarious.
Yeah. Christopher Walken's been on that show. He's a little different.
Yeah.
He's great on Saturday Night Live. Alec Baldwin and his fiery temper. He's great there.
Yes.
Anytime you can poke people in that. Vanilla personalities are hard to write jokes about.
He was willing to do it. He was ready for it.
Yeah. All right. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Listen. Good things come to those who wait at Jersey Mike's. They come to those who don't. Download the app, cut the line, skip it, order ahead. Now through May 23rd, use the Herd, the code Herd, for $1 off your order. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong.
Where Colin was right.
I've acknowledged for years, 10 years, Aaron Rodgers is great, but he's really petty and hard to get along with. Well, story came out this weekend from a former teammate and executive that said Aaron's an intelligent, trolling, petting mother blanker. He's going to make you look stupid for disrespecting him. Said another, why are you getting blindsided? I'm not saying Aaron's evil, but this is like his criminal mastermind plan. Said an executive, put it this way, they'd have to fire everybody. He's dug in, that's who he is. They'd have to make him the freaking owner of the team. That's the sense I get. He just wants control. Again, these are people who have worked with him and been with him and been teammates with him. Aaron is difficult and prickly and condescending, and when I write my last and third book, I'll write an Aaron Rodgers story that I've never told. He's a lot to deal with. That's all I've ever said, and get remarkable pushback when I started 10 years ago saying it. For the record, I get a lot less now.
Where Colin was wrong.
I always said the second chapter, if you write the book on LeBron, is durability. The first chapter, he's amazing. Now he's not very durable. 3 injuries in 2 years. He came back last week. High ankle sprain was the injury. He re-injured it almost immediately. The Lakers have sort of devolved into a play-in game team to make the playoffs. LeBron's had, to me, kind of a bitter year where he usually gets 120 days off after a title or a championship run. This year he got 70. He was anti-All-Star game, anti-play-in game, anti-starting the season in December. And let's just be honest now. Not only have we seen the best of LeBron, we've probably seen the last of him playing engaged for a full regular season.
Where Colin was right?
Never understood the disrespect for Steph Curry. Maybe it's the nerdy shoes he wears, or he doesn't have the alpha players want, but he scored 49 points in three quarters Saturday. He's going to win the scoring championship, and oh, by the way, he is single-handedly putting in an odd-fitting Warriors team in the playoffs. They're currently the eighth seed. He is shooting since the All-Star break 46% on threes and getting 37 points a game. By the way, KD left him. KD can't stay healthy and is not even the most valuable Brooklyn Net. This is what Curry is all about. The great players in this league can lead through dysfunction, through chaos. It's what LeBron's done in Cleveland a couple of times. It's what LeBron did when he came to the Lakers. There are a lot of great players in this league. There are only two or three that are in Steph Curry's class in terms of valuable.
Where Colin was wrong.
Yeah, I started the year saying the Dodgers had the chance to be the best team since maybe the late 90s Yankees. They started 13-3. They're now in third place in the National League West. They got beat by the Angels this weekend. At one point led 14-0 and almost blew the lead. Dave Roberts has to at some point be on the hot seat before the All-Star game. Injuries are piling up. Cody Bellinger's not there yet, and Dustin May is now out. The bullpen is a real concern. They regularly leak runs late in games. Not a good weekend. The Freeway Series didn't treat them well. Angels won two of those.
Where Colin was right.
Nothing against Kirk Cousins, but any time you throw a little shade at the Vikings quarterback, their fans go nuts. Story came out this week. They were fishing for a quarterback and strongly considered drafting Justin Fields when he dropped. It's nothing against Kirk Cousins, but he has an incredibly low ceiling. He's 7-16 in primetime games, and in a division with Aaron Rodgers, he just doesn't get you to the next level. There's a reason Stephon Diggs was constantly complaining. But man, there is no fan base that gets more sensitive when you criticize their quarterback. He's very much Derek Carr, but in my opinion, not as mobile. Therefore, he's got a low ceiling. The Vikings, acknowledging it, were about ready to draft Justin Fields.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I ripped him last week. I got to be fair about this. Anthony Davis dominated the Suns this weekend in a very important game for the Lakers and scored 42 points. What do you know? He delivered in one of their biggest games of the year. Listen, it's never been about talent for Anthony Davis. It has always been about desire. That's why he reminds me so much of Rasheed Wallace, a great defensive player from a Carolina, Kentucky-like program. Hard to stop, elite defender. You have to beg to get into the weight room and work on his body. That's why his body never treats him well. But big game in Portland, played pretty well. Big game against the Suns. He absolutely dominated it, and he deserves that credit.
Where Colin was right?
Well, very early, even when they were 0-7, we kept saying with the Miami Dolphins, I love the coach and I like the direction of this team. Peter King in his column this morning, Football Morning in America, talked about Chris Greer, 28 trades in 28 months on the job. This is why I like this team. And Greer had a great quote. Football has evolved. A lot of general managers are willing to trade now. All we think is about getting better tomorrow. This is a Miami team that everybody seems to like now, but we said it when they started 0-7. Look at their off seasons. Look at their drafts. Really smart. And Chris Greer is one of these GMs who keeps a very low profile. You don't hear him talk. There are no press conferences. He is really one of the sharp cats in the NFL.
Where Colin was right.
Bradley Beal. How long have I been saying Bradley Beal's the best player with no marquee value in this league? He's got to go to a winner. Well, he's one of the favorite, my guys, right, favorite. He is now. The Wizards are the hottest team in the league in the last month. In the last 2 weeks, he's had three games over 40 points. He's going to finish number two in the NBA in scoring. He had 50 points Saturday. It's a bad franchise, but I'll tell you this. everybody at some point has struggled to play with Westbrook because Russell kind of has a distinct style. What do you know? Bradley Beal, with a past his prime Westbrook, over the course of the season, is able to play very well with Westbrook in the same backcourt. It's not like he's a forward. They're in the same backcourt. They're playing very well together. And Beal remains the best player in the NBA that you've probably never watched an entire game of. And I'd love to see him in the playoffs. I know LeBron's camp, huge fans of Bradley Beal. They just can't make it work because he's expensive and the Lakers don't have cap space. Some thoughts on Robert Saleh, the new Jets coach. He had an interesting weekend. And Davante Adams is one of the two or three most gifted wide receivers in the NFL. He's a Green Bay Packer, and he's going to be joining us next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Well, get ready for the biggest season ever with the release of the 2021 NFL schedule Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on FS1 and NFL Network. Don't miss the first look at the entire 17-game regular season. Plus, starting Wednesday, fans can purchase single-game tickets at NFL.com/tickets.
I'm actually very interested in the Cleveland Browns schedule because it's got the Packers, it's got the Chiefs, it's got the Patriots. It could fall a bunch of different ways. Yeah. So the Browns are really good, but they've got potentially 8 to 9 new defensive starters. So if the schedule's brutal in September and early October, that's the difference between winning your division and finishing second to an 11 or a 12 win Ravens team. So the schedule for two or three, I mean, like for Tampa, we don't care what the schedule is. We know Kansas City, I don't worry much about the schedule.
Yeah.
But a prime example is for the Chargers. Rookie head coach, second-year starting quarterback, you know, you'd like a little softer landing in September so you can build into Brandon Staley. Can they got that? You got some new pieces on the offensive line. The Chargers are a team that are really good. It'd be nice if they could get a little softer landing in September, October. It won't matter for a team like the Packers as long as Aaron Rodgers is there. The best players are all back. They'll be rolling. You don't want to play Green Bay in September. And with that, he is... Listen, there's three receivers in the NFL to me that are just different than everybody else. In no particular order, Stephon Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, and our next guest joining us live, Davante Adams. 8 years, 4 Pro Bowls, first player in NFL history with 100 catches and 18 touchdowns in one season, and just a remarkable player. So the obvious question when I saw you were booked today, just when you heard the Aaron Rodgers stuff, what was your first reaction? What was like the first minute you thought blank? What did you think?
Well, when I first got it, I was actually on the golf course trying to enjoy myself. A couple of brewskis out there, so it's a good day. And then I hear that, and it kind of sways it. Obviously, I don't really know what to think. I hadn't really spoke to him, so you know, it wasn't the best news to receive while I'm out there trying to have a good time. But you know, it scared me a little bit. But it was, you know, a lot of things that go into this. So I was like, let's just calm down. Let's see what's going on. We'll talk to him and then, you know, ultimately try to figure out what's going on with this thing.
You know, Davante, you're a free agent at the end of next year. So you're very, very fortunate that if the Aaron Green Bay thing did not work, you would be on the market. And I'm going to guess you're going to get whatever you want. You're going to get a Stephon Diggs deal. So let's be honest here. This is not a shot at Jordan Love, but if Aaron moved on, you have such an incredible working relationship with him. Would it affect your future in Green Bay?
Potentially. I mean, that's my guy. That's the only guy that I've had, you know, other than that 2017 season when he got hurt. It's the only guy that I played with. And, you know, we built up a special connection over the years that has made it, you know, put us both in really good positions in our career. You know, not that he needed me to come along for it because he was already in that spot, but we established a lot together, so it would change a lot, man. You know, doesn't mean potentially I'd be gone, but, you know, I'd definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't here.
Well, first of all, you have the most catches in a single season in Packer history, which is kind of remarkable considering how many great players they've had. All the stats that mattered last year, you were number one in all of them. here's the thing is that Aaron needs to trust a receiver to throw to him. That's why it can be tough for like Tom Brady rookie receivers. He's hard on him. Aaron rookie receivers, he's hard on him. You built a trust with him. Take me back to your first year or two. When do you think, Devontae, you crossed that threshold where Aaron finally said, I trust this kid?
It took time, man. I'm not going to lie. It took time before I can, honestly, personally say, we're in that spot and he trusts me for sure. There's been times, throughout my first year, he came to me some critical moments in playoff game against Dallas. But that we hadn't really developed that true trust at that point. So I wasn't really sold that, we have like this crazy bond that's going to turn into something undeniably special. So I would say obviously 2015 was not a great year for me at all. So definitely wasn't that. I'll say around 2016, middle of that season, we were having a lot of success scoring a bunch of touchdowns. I was healthy that year, so I was able to get through it and really just play my game. And, being hurt, banged up in 2015, just the type of player I am and the type of movements that I make. You can't have any, nagging injuries going on with your limbs and ankles and all of that stuff. So being able to be healthy in 2016, I felt like we were able to establish something and kind of snowball that moving forward, and missed him in 17 when he got hurt. But we got right back to it in 2018, and kind of since then just been tearing it up.
It's very rare. Edelman and Brady had this. Doug Baldwin and Russell Wilson had this. There's almost nonverbal stuff. When I watch you and Aaron play, it's like you're playing a little game by yourself that you haven't let all your teammates in on. I feel like, and by the way, Aaron doesn't get along with everybody, and that's fine. But there's something about what you've done that has created this relationship. And kind of talk about that it is special, and not he hasn't had this with every wide receiver.
I lost you guys' audio.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I'm not hearing you.
Can you hear me now, Devontae? No. All right. We'll try to get him back. He's up in Northern California right now working out with his kids. At least it's nice to know that you can be built like him and still go out and have beers and golf. That was kind of encouraging for the rest of us in America, that you don't have to literally be in a treadmill and lifting weights all day. You can have beers, and that's okay. You can make that work as well. So, all right, we're going to redial him and try to get him back on. Just to give you a thought about what Devontae Adams has done, and it took a couple of years to do it, he led the NFL last year in receiving touchdowns, receiving yards, receptions per game. So, like the most vital statistics, he led the NFL in all of them. Now, some of that is a big chunk of that is not only Aaron, it's Matt LaFleur's system, and they have a very good offensive line, so they've always got time to throw because he's a guy that can get up the field. DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, you have to have a decent offensive line to make that stuff work. But the relationship with Aaron, it's got kind of a Jordy Nelson feel to it. And let's bring Devontae Adams back. When I think of Aaron, the two receivers that have really clicked with him are Jordy Nelson and you, Devontae. Those are the two that are special. Is there something you think you have in common with Jordy, or something that you kind of unlocked the key to Aaron's trust? What is it?
I think it's just years and years of just building that connection and the consistency, honestly. I think just him being able to trust that I know what I'm doing. And, he got this thing where I've referred to him as an elephant before. He remembers everything. So I try to basically hop onto that train and be that same type of player where he'll bring up something. He'll tell me in a huddle, you remember, against the Titans 2016, you ran, outside release, this or that route. And I need you to run it like that. So then I'll line up there and he'll kind of give me a look later in the game. And I'll look over to him and know exactly what he's trying to get me to do. And then, coming out, and there's nothing more gratifying than connecting on that type of level or knowing what your quarterback is expecting of you. Doing just that, turn around, seeing a ball and catching a touchdown. I feel like that's what's allowed us to be different than any other group. Being able to do stuff like that.
Listen, the Packers are a big brand. They're a notable franchise, but they're, Devontae, they're different. They don't have an owner. It is not only the smallest NFL city, it's the smallest NFL city, it's the smallest pro city. It's a very, there's a very unique bonding experience in Green Bay. It's not a criticism. Right. One of Aaron's criticisms of the franchise, they haven't communicated all the time, and in fairness, he's right. Yeah. When Aaron complains about that, do you defend him on that? Do you see that sometimes?
I defend my guys on everything, man. I mean, this is we all know it's a pretty dense business. There's a lot that happens, a lot that goes on here. Just like any other job, you want to be happy, and you want guys, once you have gained that respect, you want to be treated with that type of respect. So there's certain things that, I can't speak on specifics, but there's certain things that he wants, and maybe the club wasn't so excited about living up to right away. And, that can affect a guy who's done so much for an organization. He's put his body and his really laid his life on the line out there for that team, for his teammates and everything. So I've been behind him 100% throughout the whole thing. Obviously, I'm praying everything works out and that we get him back, and we can continue to go out there and do stuff like what you see on the screen there, because it's a lot of fun doing that.
By the way, finally, because of the pandemic, Devontae, we have not in the media, we haven't seen Jordan Love practice. We haven't seen him play. There was no preseason. Right. We're all just guessing here. So I'm not expecting him to be Aaron Rodgers. That's unfair. I never expected a Brady backup to be Brady or a Russell Wilson backup to be Russell. But if I asked you, how far do you believe, if Aaron left, how far is Jordan Love from starting in the league? Another offseason, another year. Could you give me some sense, like, if the worst thing happened and Aaron left, a worst thing for you, how far is Jordan from playing? Is he close?
I'd say, and here's, it's pretty tough. And like you just stated, not having any real action out there, it's tough for me to assess that fully. Based off what I've seen, he works really hard. He's really attentive. And, he's like a sponge with Aaron in that room, just soaking up everything, all the knowledge, different things. And with his mechanics, I know, he's been working on to try to get better and better at. But it's tough because I haven't seen him play, haven't seen him get out there and do a preseason. So after this year, I think we'll be able to give a more accurate assessment of that, seeing him going against a few other teams, maybe some cross, how they do the training camp practices. Maybe we'll do some stuff like that potentially. So we'll see. I definitely got faith in him that he can get it done. And, whoever's out there, I showed it with, 2017 with Brett Hundley. I'm going to get out there and be ready to ball regardless, control what I can control. But like I said, Love is, he's been looking good from what I've seen, but that real live action is what will really let us know.
Well, by the way, if you quit today, you get Hall of Fame votes. You are a spectacular talent. Congratulations on that. You've got something called Optimum Nutrition Building Better Lives. What is that?
Yeah, man. I partnered with Optimum Nutrition. The best in the business. They've done so much for me, my family, the communities that I grew up in. Just putting people in a better position to be able to maximize their potential. And I feel like that's, having a sponsor like that you can trust when it comes to training, especially at the level that we are at. I feel like it's incredibly, incredibly important to be able to trust that and know that I'm going to be getting the best out of, better workouts, better recovery, all this stuff that allow me to be at my peak performance.
Devontae, you're a spectacular talent. It's great to finally meet you. By the way, have you talked to Aaron at all in the last couple weeks at all? Texted him anything?
Yeah, we talked a little bit. It's been, a lot is still being, figured out on his end. So it's tough for me to get into specifics and speak on it. Honestly, I would love to. Can't wait till I can just get on here and tell you that he's back and we're back doing our thing that we've been doing. But for now, it's just, you got to iron out a few things. And then, hopefully I'll be back on the show. We'll be celebrating, taking shots and whatnot.
Well, I hope you're optimistic today. Devontae, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it, man. You're a stud, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, boss. I appreciate you.
You bet. Devontae Adams, who is just a remarkable talent. Jump off the screen. Great. He, like it again. You just texting with Aaron. Things got to get figured out. The good news for him, though, he's a free agent in 1 year. So if Aaron leaves, he's going to have choices. He's going to have quarterbacks begging to get him. Stephon Diggs got unhappy. He ended up with Josh Allen. By the way, Devontae Adams, in the end, or not Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins got upset. He ended up with Kyler Murray. You're a star receiver. You're going to have a say, and there's going to be a lot of people. All it takes is a star quarterback to go to a GM and say, get me that guy. That guy is great. And Devontae Adams is. Alex with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
A quick note there with Devontae Adams. He sounded kind of hopeful with Aaron Rodgers. Like, it wasn't one way or the other. Just he sounded a little hopeful that it might work out. So
Aaron's not going to get a Devontae Adams wherever he goes.
No.
Not getting one of those.
No, you got to keep that. Okay, well, we're moving to a rookie quarterback because Zach Wilson was drafted second overall by the Jets. But the rookie quarterback doesn't think that means he's guaranteed a starting spot.
My focus is to learn the offense, keep getting better every single day, you know, do what I can with the guys around me. And I think the rest takes care of itself. You know, in this position, the coaches want to play the best player, and that position has got to be earned. You know, I got to go in there and I got to make sure I do what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, that'll take care of itself.
Get the playbook down. He's got a nice play caller from San Francisco, and he will be starting day one. He has to. Yeah. They're not good enough for him not to start.
No, he doesn't have the competition, but I like this confidence. It's refreshing. He's not entitled, but he's saying the right things. He's reaching out to former quarterbacks. He's being respectful.
Yeah.
He's putting in the work. And most importantly, he actually believes deeply that he can help this team.
Also, they're not paying him anything for 4 years. That's the primary reason they moved off Darnold. So they've got some cap space over the next several years, like with Baker Mayfield or Russell Wilson early in his career, to go for it and get difference makers.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him. He's winning me over in all of his little press conferences. But let's move over to the Lakers because they have been riddled with injuries all season, including LeBron, who has been sidelined with an ankle injury, but could reportedly return tomorrow versus the Knicks. Now, the Lakers are currently in the seventh seed in the West, but AD doesn't seem concerned with LA's current position.
It's been fun, to be honest. You know, we were a great team last year, and this is, I think, the first time since I've been here that we ran into a challenge. You know, this is a different challenge for us. I've got that mindset where control what we can control. Go out there and do what we do, play Lakers basketball, and let the rest take care of itself. So it's fun.
Well, right now, they would play the Warriors,
They would play the Warriors. Yep, they are in the seventh seed right now, and they are set to play Steph Curry and the Warriors.
Well, it's an interesting matchup because if LeBron comes back between Drummond, Anthony Davis, KCP, and LeBron, it is – a team that is so much bigger than Golden State. So my takeaway is it's a perfect matchup for Vogel. Vogel loves bigs and size. Yeah. I think, you know, everybody's like, ooh, watch out, Lakers with Steph. I just don't know how the Warriors could defend the size of the Lakers in a play-in game.
No, I mean, Steph is definitely going off right now. He is carrying the Warriors, and it's hard to bet against Steph, but it's even harder to bet against LeBron if he's playing. And the big question is going to be, is he healthy? He did say he's not going to be 100%.
Yeah, he said, I think LeBron's playing tomorrow. Didn't we hear that?
No. That's why I said he could play tomorrow.
Good.
But he did say earlier this season that he didn't think he was going to be back to 100%. So he will be playing a little injured, but it's LeBron and he can do anything. So we'll have to see. This is going to be an interesting week to see how everything plays out. I'm excited for that. All right. Well, despite the fact that the Packers have shown no interest in wanting to trade Aaron Rodgers, there's still been plenty of speculation of where the quarterback could end up if he did leave Green Bay. Now, one destination that has been thrown out there was Cleveland, but apparently the Browns aren't interested in trading for Rodgers because the Browns are ecstatic that Baker seemingly turned a corner in the second half of the 2020 season. Now, I think for me, the biggest takeaway here, this has got to give Baker an extreme amount of confidence, hearing that his team wants to keep him and not go for the MVP.
Well, they exercise the fifth-year option, and in the end, it's all about fit. I do believe Baker's personality is so Cleveland, it hurts.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I say one of the things that's hurt Aaron is I don't think Aaron and Green Bay were ever an ideal fit. They just made it work for 16 years. Baker fits the Browns. Overlooked, trampled on, two-time walk-on for kind of the lonely losers in the NFL. So I think Baker fits this. It feels right. Baker feels right.
He does feel right.
Yeah, Peyton Manning wouldn't Peyton Manning was like American football royalty. He would have never fit in Cleveland. Aaron's personality doesn't fit in Cleveland, but Baker's does.
Yeah, it works.
Good stuff, Alex, with the news.
Thanks.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
So Denver
news.
Is the team that is being discussed the most with Aaron Rodgers. So there's more rumors today. It could happen. I do think they're the best fit. Mark Schlereth, he'll be joining us on that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go to Mercedes. Go to their website, mbusa.com/AMG, to find out if Mercedes AMG Coupe Sedan SUV is right for you. Mercedes AMG driving performance. Well, there's more reports this morning that Denver is the landing spot. And I've said there are four or five teams in the NFL that, to me, don't have any chance of making the playoffs. But four of the five are based on a bad roster or dysfunction. The Lions, the Eagles, the Jets, or the Texans. The fifth is Denver. They had two issues. I think their coach is good enough to be a playoff team. I think their roster is good enough. And they don't have a lot of chaos, although John Elway didn't work. He remained in the organization. But I look at them, and they've got cap space, and they've got time. It's only May. And I think they solved. They had two big issues. They were bad on the back end. Well, they went and got Kyle Fuller at one corner and drafted Patrick Surtain at the other. So they have solved their cornerback issue. Those are high-functioning corners. Now their issue is quarterback. And to me, I just don't think you – it's May. Solve your issue. There's somebody on the market. And so Mark Schlereth played for the Broncos, won a ring with the Broncos, joins me live. It does feel like – I mean, it doesn't – everything line, and I don't think Aaron's perfect for every organization. I don't think he'd be doing a lot of eye rolling with Cleveland's dysfunction. I think Denver, because they brought Manning in and it worked. Not that that would put pressure on Aaron, but it would be like, bro, Elway's won here, Peyton's won here. You need to win here. I actually think Denver is the perfect spot. Your thoughts on that?
No, I think Denver's a great spot. You know, I mean, there's always things you're going to have to give up, right? You're going to have to give up draft capital. You're probably going to have to give up a couple of young players. But the thing about a great quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers is one of the top five that's ever played the game. The thing about a great quarterback is he covers warts. And there's only a handful of them that do in this league right now. Hey, do they have issues that you have to deal with? Like, do you think Peyton Manning came to Denver and was just the, you know, the prodigal son or the, you know, he returns home or whatever, comes to Denver and everything's hunky-dory? No, he wants things done the way he wants things done. And he will drive you nuts as a coaching staff. I mean, those guys that understand what they're doing, they are very demanding. And they're demanding of everybody on a football field, but they're demanding of themselves first. And so, yeah, I think it's a perfect fit. Like you mentioned, they have the cap space. They'll give up the draft capital. Think about where they sit right now. Where they sit right now, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater or whether it's, you know, Drew Locke or whoever else it might be, you're the fourth best quarterback in the AFC West as you're currently constructed. Put Aaron Rodgers in there and you have your neck and neck, you and Patrick Mahomes or 1A and 1B, whichever way you want to parse that out. So, yeah, I think it's a great situation and a great fit for the Denver Broncos.
So you played with John Elway, who, like Rodgers, was Bay Area, super smart, strong opinions, could be polarizing at times. John Elway was smart and let you know it. Was there ever, I mean, we make this out to be Green Bay and Aaron have never gotten along. It was fine until about 3 years ago, and then it kind of eroded. Go back to your Elway days. Could I say there are occasionally exceptions, but that if you have a star quarterback, go back to John. There's going to be some executive coaching management stuff that just naturally ticks him off. It's not going to always be great.
Sure. I think if you go back to John before I got there, when I was playing in Washington, and they drafted Tommy Maddox, there was a rift between John, the management, the head coach at the time, Dan Reeves, that, you know, John eventually won, right? I mean, that's the way it worked. Because, you know, when you are a great quarterback, I think the thing about the great quarterbacks, you know, we can look at Brady shouting at guys on the sideline, right? We can look at him going after people. Bottom line is half the time he's shouting at himself. The other part is there's nobody on the team that puts more work, more preparation, and has more invested in the football team than Brady. So he holds himself to a higher standard, and he's just bringing you along with him. That's the way Peyton Manning was here in Denver, and that's the way Aaron Rodgers is. And so you're going to have those moments where you grate on people, where you irritate people. People used to tell me about Peyton Manning. He'd be like, hey, this is the way we block this in October. We're going to block this in November this way. And he would badger you as a coach and just continue to badger you until you basically relented. Like, no, we want to do it this way. This is the way we do it. He would badger you until you just said, okay, Peyton, we'll do it the way you want to do it, because otherwise we'll never hear the end of it. And we're going to spend the next 7 hours wasted arguing with you as opposed to just move on and let's do the rest of our game plan. So, you know, the great ones are wired that way. They know what they want. They know what they like. And they understand what wins. And so Aaron is 100% that way. And you know, like I said, the great ones are all wired that way.
So Robert Saleh had a moment this weekend. He joked about it, that he forgot that he was a head coach. And I've said, listen, it's a tough division to go into. You got the worst roster. Your ownership has been historically uneven, meddling at times, disappearing at others. And frankly, you got a rookie quarterback. He's going to be learning on the job, it sounds like. Are you worried? I mean, he does have a presence. And I do think that matters. He does have a presence. And a lot of coaches that fail, like Ben McAdoo, don't really have a presence. Pat Shurmur doesn't really have a presence. Mm-hmm. What do you make of Saleh's first year? Could it be a mess?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to revamp their roster, which they are working on as we speak, you know, so that's part of the deal. Let me just tell you, I've probably done 9 49er games in the last 4 years. And Robert Saleh is one of my favorite people because he is one of the most authentic people that you will ever meet. The guy has an ability to connect. You know, you're in the business world. I do some stuff in the business world. I always say this about whatever business you're in, whether it's, you know, selling burgers, whether it's selling green chili, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, we're all in the relationship business. And if you're not in the relationship business, you're going out of business. That's how it works. And Robert Saleh is in the relationship business. Man, his guys play exceptionally hard for him. He is incredibly tied to those guys, incredibly connected with those guys. My only concern when you leave, when you elevate to head coach, right, and you go from a positional coach or a coordinator, you lose some of that connection you have to the players. Like, you have so much pride and so much passion in taking a guy like Fred Warner as a third rounder at the middle linebacker position and developing him and helping cultivate him into the best linebacker in football. And so there's pride and there's ownership and there's connectivity there that Robert Saleh loves. The issue is, as you graduate to head coach, you lose some of that connection with your players. So you go from coaching players to coaching coaches. And the other thing is you lose some connectivity because so many things come across your desk, you're constantly putting out fires. So you lose a little bit of that connection to your players. And that's what most coaches struggle with when they finally get elevated to head coach.
Mark Schlereth, 3 rings. Good seeing you, buddy. Appreciate it on a Monday.
Absolutely, buddy. Take care, man.
All right. Here's the Robert Saleh sound this weekend. It's kind of funny and kind of alarming at the same time. Here it is.
Give you a quick little funny story. We just had our bigs out there, and we're going through, and the horn blew for practice to be over. And I started to take my normal spot behind the huddle to listen to the head coach speak. And I was like, oh, shoot, that's me. So
the thing I worry about is, one, it's going to be hard to evaluate him. The Jets are going to lose a lot, at least for a year, and you're not going to know if it's him or the offensive line or the roster or a rookie quarterback. It became very clear late it was an Adam Gase issue, not as much a Sam Darnold issue. It's going to be hard to evaluate him because they're really an incomplete football team with no recent history of in that division of being able to win those games against the Patriots or the Bills. The second thing, it's a classic move of hiring the exact opposite of what you had. I've been in the news business for 15 years before I got into the syndicated business, and I must have seen this three different times, is that you have a real fiery news director that yells and screams, and it works for a few years, and he burns people out. And then you go the opposite way and hire a very apathetic or laconic person. And the truth is, part of that fiery guy worked. So he's the opposite of Adam Gase, who had no presence, who was moody, who was dark, who was odd. This guy's all personality, all energy, got the look, got the sound, got the intensity. So he's kind of the opposite of Adam Gase. And a lot of times companies make that mistake. There was something about Adam Gase you liked, or you wouldn't have hired him. Companies tend to be, that didn't work, let's go the opposite. And that can be at times problematic. Hour 3 around the corner on a Monday. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd.